This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Start spreading the news. I'm leaving today. I want to be a part of it. New York, New York. These vagabond shoes are longing to stray right through the very heart of it. New York, New York.
Oh yeah, a little bit of Frankie Baby in New York, New York. That's kind of one of the songs, New Year's Eve. I think Ed decided to pull that up. Don't they drop the Big Apple?
Well, after they drop the apple and they play Auld Lang Syne, the second song is usually New York,
That's
New York.
Right. Very appropriate. Ed is always current. He's always on topic. We're going to talk with him later, by the way, about the wonderful Bucks game, but we'll talk about that towards the end of the show. Good morning, and welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am Paul Molloy, and along with my buddy Big Ed Davis, thank you for joining us. This will be the last show, Ed, that we're going to do, would you say, in the decade? Actually not, because next year is the last year of the decade, if you think about it literally. But for sure, a last show this year. So we thank you for joining us. December 30th already. We're going to be talking in a few minutes with Ian Vasquez of the Cato Institute about their latest Human Freedom Index. Now, this is the state of human freedom around the world. We're going to find out where the United States ranks, according to Cato, in human freedom, among other countries, and a discussion of identity politics, very much in the wake of the Jewish shooting in New Jersey. There's been a rash of shootings by black men against Jewish, particularly, apparently, Orthodox Jewish people. We're going to talk about it. And Joe Biden gets heckled in New Hampshire. For what, you might ask? Well, we're going to tell you. Meanwhile, he says he may nominate Barack Obama to the Supreme Court. And we're going to talk about that as well. And in our Freedom Works Ultimate Top 10, what are the top 10 states people are leaving? We're going to tell you what they are. By the way, Freedom Works, we are sponsored in part by the best barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin, in the Overcash Plaza. That's just north of Route 580 on Overcash Drive. For the best haircut, it's a great price. And particularly if you're a Trump supporter, you're going to feel right at home. Andrew's Master Barbershop. Also, please go to our website, ourfreedomworks.com. There you will find the upcoming guests for our show. You will also be able to hear any of our shows that we've done recently, because Ed sets up all of our shows on podcast, which we appreciate very much. So you can listen to us at your leisure. Ourfreedomworks.com. Okay. Well, I guess Joe Biden is finding it a little bit tough wandering around in public these days. He was heckled and interrupted by a series of hecklers calling him creepy. Somebody called him a pervert in New Hampshire. He was in Milford, New Hampshire. Shortly after he started speaking, a guy in the back of the room accused him of acting inappropriately, saying, don't touch kids, you pervert.
Did you see what his response was? See what Joe said?
He says, this is not a Trump rally.
Obviously, there was only 58 people in the room.
But he said this. This is what he really said. This is not a Trump rally. This is a democracy. So he's in... Joe Biden is trying to say he's an equal opportunity petter, and I think that's good.
He's an equal opportunity offender.
Yes. A woman then started shouting, quid pro Joe. He was having a great time in Milford. A great time. Before another one shouted, inquiring about his business dealings in the Ukraine. Then Biden, completely off the topic, I've released 21 years of my tax returns. How many has yours? What does he mean, how many has yours? How many has yours? We weren't talking about your tax returns. We were talking about you putting people on your knee or whatever you do with them and then going over to the Ukraine and screwing around with the special prosecutor. Then he brings in tax returns. Anyway, that's what's going on with Joe. So in the meantime, somebody asked him whether or not he would honor a Senate subpoena. He stumbled around on that one, too. Originally, he said he would not because it had nothing to do with the impeachment. Then on Saturday, he sought to clarify that. He said if the Senate did send him a subpoena to testify in the impeachment, he'd consider it. He had told the Des Moines Register that he stood by his position that he would defy the Senate if they ordered him to testify. When asked about it, he said, correct. And the reason I would not testify is because it's all designed to deal with Trump doing what he's done his whole life, which is trying to take the focus off of him. Well, what are you trying to do, Joe? Then in a tweet on Saturday, he said, I want to clarify something I said. In my 40 years in public life, I've always complied with a lawful order. And in my 8 years as VP, my office, unlike Donald Trump and Mike Pence, cooperated with legitimate congressional oversight requests. In other words, okay, on second thought, if they call me to testify in the impeachment, I guess I will. How does he not see that there is a correlation? It's because of Hunter and Joe and quid pro quo and his on-air video quid pro quoing? Of course. And finally, we got one more shot at him, right? Poor guy. Can't we leave him alone during the holidays? He told reporters that he would nominate Barack Obama to the Supreme Court, quote, if he'd take it. Well, if I was Obama, who's living the life of Riley right now, I'd say, why would I want to do that? But, he just says, yes, I'd nominate him without checking with him. Come on. If you take it, what if he's not, maybe if you checked into his law background, he might not have the credentials. I don't know. I guess he does, according to Biden. On several occasions, Joe's mentioned his loyalty to Obama, although I guess Obama hasn't said much about endorsing him, at least at this point. I wonder if Obama really does have a favorite in this thing, other than some people think his wife. But I don't think so.
The Dems are so organized they can't figure out who's running for president.
They're too busy impeaching the current one. Don't you understand? It's one step at a time. First we impeach, and then we try to figure out a way to get somebody on. Maybe it should be Nancy. Maybe Nancy Pelosi should be their nominee. Could she step away? Well, she could still run, couldn't she? Even though she's a senator, she could run. She could announce that she's decided, you know, I'm only two steps away anyway. Maybe I'll run. But I don't think she will. Anyway, let's take our break. We're going to change horses. We're going to talk with Ian Vasquez about the Human Freedom Index. So stay tuned.
He took 100 pounds of clay. And then he said, hey, listen, I'm gonna fix this world today.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network. The best barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop, located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They've got a beautiful new facility, but you'll still get the very best haircut from the very best hair cutters, and for a great price, too. Andrew's Master Barbershop is open Tuesday through Friday, 8:30 to 5, and Saturday, 8:30 to 2 p.m. Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza, State Road 580 and Overcash Drive in Dunedin.
If you would like to become a wholesale buyer of the premium quality longevity product that you hear about right here on the Tantalk Radio Network for personal service, you can pick up the phone right now and call Lola at 727-441-3311. Again, that's Lola at 727-441-3311. Or for even faster service, log on to TantalkHealth.com. That's TantalkHealth.com. Here's to your health and longevity.
Hi, this is Jay Leno.
Hey, this is Ted Nugent.
Hi, everybody. This is David Hobbs.
Hi, this is Bob Varshu.
Hey, this is Danny the Count Coker.
Hey, this is comedian, author, and most importantly, vintage race car driver Adam Carolla.
Hi, this is Shirley Cha-Cha Muldowney.
I'm John Forrest.
Hey, this is Jack Roush.
And you're listening to Nostalgic Radio and Cars.
That's Nostalgic Radio and Cars with the most fascinating and legendary names in motorsports every Tuesday from 7 to 8 p.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network.
Listen to the latest pet trends with benefits on the Pet Buzz every Saturday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. Join pet trendologist Charlotte Reed and veterinarian Dr. Michael Fleck as they talk all things pets, from animal health and wellness, money-saving tips, celebrity gossip, breaking news, and more. Their expert guests are in the know and in the now. To learn more about this unique program and its hosts, tune into the show on the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we're back. And again, last show we're going to be doing before 2020 rolls around. But we're delighted to have Ian Vasquez as our final guest for the year. He is the director of the Center for Global Liberty and Prosperity at the Cato Institute. And he is a co-author of the report, which is the Human Freedom Index for 2019. Ian, welcome to Freedom Works.
Thanks very much.
Very interested in this Human Freedom Index. This is something that Cato Institute has been involved in for a while. And I'd like you to kind of, first of all, before we go down the list, would you describe what the purpose of this Human Index Freedom really is?
Well, yes. This is the first index that broadly measures freedom, taking into account measures of economic, civil, and personal freedoms around the world for 162 countries. And we're measuring things like freedom to trade, freedom of religion, freedom of movement, freedom of association, freedom of the press, monetary policy, how sound is your money. If you don't have good money, you're not very free, things like that, security and the rule of law. And we take a look at 76 indicators in each country, 162 countries, from 2008 till 2017, to rank countries in terms of their overall human freedom. And what we end up with is a human freedom index that we think gives a pretty accurate picture of the state of global freedom and the state of freedom in those countries.
Yeah, it sounds very comprehensive. It really does. Now, taking a look at the listing, I noticed, and I think it's, I've seen these countries before near the top, but Hong Kong's near the top. New Zealand, of all places, ranks number one. Switzerland, so those three are right there. Hong Kong going through a little bit of turmoil recently. I would wonder if that Human Freedom Index was compiled before that.
Well, again, this is data. The latest data is 2017, so there's a two-year lag typically.
Oh, I see. I see.
International data. However, I do point out that we are not ranking, we are not measuring political freedom, whether a country has democracy or not. That's very important. But under democracy, as you well know, individual freedoms can go up or they can go down. And that's why we thought it was important to measure individual freedom separately from the political regime. And what we one of the things that we find, of course, is that they're strongly related, that freedom, human freedom, is strongly related to democracy. And in that sense, Hong Kong, which is not a democracy and hasn't been, is an outlier. It's not representative of very many countries in the world that don't have democracy.
Yeah.
It does have high levels of freedom.
Well, at one time, of course, it was under the domain of the of the Brits. And
that's right. And I think that explains the reason why it's very free.
It was. It's a very libertarian environment when it came to work ethic, things like that. But of course, that's changed a little bit. And there has been this attempt to, let's be honest, to squelch human freedom there
Chinese. The big battle of freedom going on.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
Okay, so the United States ranks 15th. You know, everybody wants to come live here. And the main reason is they believe that we are the beacon of freedom. And yet, we're 15th. What's going on?
Well, a big part of the story is that the United States has been in long-term decline since at least the year 2000 in terms of economic freedoms. Economic freedom was very high in the United States for decades, according to our measures, ranking second or third or fourth, typically, up until the year 2000, when government spending and more regulations and so on started to take place. And that accelerated through the George Bush administration with the war on terror and the wars in the Middle East and so on. Government spending increased on virtually everything domestically as well. The financial crisis happened. President Obama came in, and that trend accelerated even more. So you see this real fall in every indicator of economic freedom. And only in the last several years that we've been measuring it, has that started to rebound again. Beginning with the end of the Obama administration and continuing into 2017. So the United States actually was worse previously.
Was a couple of years
now
ago.
It's starting to get better.
Yeah. In other words, since Trump has come in, it sounds like you're saying that at least from the economic standpoint, perhaps there's a little bit more freedom. We would rank a little bit higher had the maybe the statistics been compiled in 2019 itself. You know what I mean? I don't know.
Well, the improvement began around 2013 in terms of economic freedom. I mean, basically, you saw a lot of the big stimulus spending and all of that kind of stuff that didn't end up really helping the economy start to go down. And to the extent that a government spends less as a proportion of its economy, you become a freer country. And so that's what we see start happening.
Okay.
There's still too much of that going on, but there was a real explosion of that previous to those years.
We're talking with Ian Vasquez. He is the director of the Center for Global Liberty and Prosperity at the Cato Institute, great libertarian think tank, and he has helped compile the Human Freedom Index, which was released here this year. So, Ian, what are the countries? I mean, you know, we can think of some of the countries that are the least free. I mean, North Korea immediately comes to mind, and Iran. How about, are there any others towards the bottom?
Yeah, unfortunately, there's a lot that are very unfree. But the least free countries are Egypt, Iraq, Sudan, Yemen, Venezuela, and Syria.
Really? Egypt?
Each of them are different. Yes, and Egypt also is not only one of the least free countries, it's one of the countries that in the last 10 years has seen the most decline in its freedoms in the bottom.
What's going on in Egypt that you can see?
Well, it's just the backlash against the so-called Arab Spring. Remember the Arab Spring that was supposed to bring back democracy and greater freedoms to the region? It didn't really happen, except with the possible exception of Tunisia. In Egypt, it created a backlash and more dictatorship, and so that's what's going on.
Okay, but
there.
Is Egypt worse than North Korea?
We don't rank North Korea, but it definitely
is. Oh, you would rank it.
We don't rank it only because it's a black hole. There's just no data.
Oh, I see what you mean.
Make up the data. We could guess, But yeah. The way that we do this is that we only use data that is comparable to the other data and using the yeah. same sources, and you just can't get information out of there.
Gotcha.
So it would be at the bottom of the list. I have no doubt about that if we ranked it.
But the Mideast seems to be, with all the turmoil, you're mentioning countries that are kind of in that general area. Where did, I didn't see it, so I'm going to ask you, where did Israel rank?
That's a good question.
That's all right.
we rank Israel within the Middle East and North Africa, and the Middle East and North Africa is the most unfree region out of 10 regions in the world that we measure, and it's also kind of like Egypt. It's also the region that has seen the most significant drops in freedom, and so that's worrisome. You can think of Egypt as one of the reasons. Syria is another reason. Turkey is another reason for that. Israel is not. It's part of that group, but it sort of stands out.
Yes.
So it's different.
I see Venezuela, which is just in complete upheaval, is 161st, just above Syria, where there's more trouble there. I mean, people are literally at each other's throats. Yes, go ahead.
And, of course, the explanation for Venezuela is socialism. That's the Chavez regime that has been imposed there. And it really has created a complete crisis,
yes,
political, economic, and humanitarian.
Speaking about socialism, because of the push in our country, particularly from the left and the Democratic Party, on the on the wonders of a socialistic approach, is that in any way influencing the Human Freedom Index for the United States these days?
Well, it's hard to tell. We are only measuring actual policies, the actual reality on the ground. And I think that this, especially since the financial crisis, I think that this move away from the free market and in favor of more government control over the economy has definitely had an effect on the freedom ratings mm-hmm. of the United States.
Okay. Why is it New Zealand's number one? I mean, I can understand in a way that it's a free area, but it ranks number one. Is there anything special about New Zealand?
Well, I mean, it's doing almost everything pretty well in terms of policies of freedom. And I think that one of the reasons that explains it is because it's an island country that has always been for a long time been in the developed world. And then in the 1980s, as it was running into all sorts of economic and financial troubles because it actually wasn't economically free. It had all sorts of socialistic type policies, actually. It had to turn itself around. It couldn't rely on anybody else. And it had pretty far-reaching market reforms. New Zealand is one of the successfully reforming countries that turned itself around.
Mm-hmm.
And it started to grow. It did reforms in a way that were pretty comprehensive. And it's been reaping the benefits since then. And people there, by and large, support those policies of an open economy and also an appreciation of broader freedoms. And one of the things that we find in our report is that if you want to live in a country that respects a high level of personal freedoms, freedom of the press, freedom of association, and so forth, you had better choose a country that has a relatively high level of economic freedom, because you can't really have a high level of personal freedoms if you don't have a relatively high level of economic freedom.
Yeah. That makes sense. And finally, I noticed Canada's fourth, whereas the United States, as we mentioned, is 15th. Canada is ahead of Australia and Denmark and Luxembourg and Germany. What is it about Canada that puts them up there in comparison to the United States? Why is it? What is it that is more free there than it is, say, here?
Well, there's a number of areas. We would have to look at exactly at those areas. But one of the things that they've done over the past couple of decades, which is starting to pay off, is they've gotten their spending in order in a way that wasn't the case previously. They're a relatively free trade economy. They're very strong on all sorts of personal freedom. And when you put all of that together, you get a country that is very free compared to the rest of the world. Remember, they didn't go through the war on terror and the wars in the Middle East and so on, which also have an effect on privacy and personal freedoms in the way that the United States did. And that also has played a role.
Yeah, they're not as involved politically as we are around the world, no question.
Well, that's right. That's right.
Mm-hmm. Well, Ian, it's a pleasure to talk with you about this. And people can go to the website, the Cato Institute website, I suspect, to read more about this very great endeavor that you, I would say, co-authored, the Human Freedom Index of 2019. So thank you so very much.
Thanks very much.
All right. Ian Vasquez, Cato Institute. We're going to take our break. When we come back, going to talk more things politics, among them. What's going on with Donald Trump and the impeachment? And what? Guess what? Angelo Ceresi will join us.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
The best barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop, located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They've got a beautiful new facility, but you'll still get the very best haircut from the very best hair cutters, and for a great price, too. Andrew's Master Barbershop is open Tuesday through Friday, 8:30 to 5, and Saturday, 8:30 to 2 p.m. Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza, State Road 580 and Overcash Drive in Dunedin.
Don't miss the Craft Beer Hour every Wednesday from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. We'll bring you up to speed on craft beer events and festivals, local breweries, and interview the brains behind the brews. So grab a pint and listen to the Craft Beer Hour every Wednesday from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network, and visit the website, thecraftbeerhour.com.
Let's Go Bowling, heard on the Tantalk Radio Network every Wednesday, 11 a.m. to 12 Eastern Time. Sponsored by 12 Strike and Innovative Ball Spinner. If you bowl, if you haven't bowled in a while, or if you never bowled, why not you be one of 65 million people have bowled last year? Listen to the tip of the week, bowling stars, old and new. Let's Go Bowling Show, GoBowlingShow.com.
Go yard is a metaphor used in baseball, meaning to hit a home run. Life struggles can make you feel like you just struck out. It's times like these that we need a little batting practice to pick ourselves back up and get back in the game. Whether you are dealing with marital issues, drug addiction, rebellious teens, anxiety, depression, or just generally having a bad day, call Mama Mac. If life has you down 0-2, before you strike out, learn to go yard. Go yard with Mama Mac on this radio station, Thursdays, 6 o'clock.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Sabina, the little old lady from Pasadena. Go, Granny, go, Granny.
We are back. December the 30th. This is the eve of Christmas Eve, I guess, right? Have I got that right? The eve of Christmas Eve? Yeah, because tomorrow's Christmas Eve.
No, you're back a week. This is New Year's.
Oh, yeah. What am I talking Christmas? I meant New Year's. Thank you for correcting me. By the way, Mayor Bill de Blasio has figured out a way to blame homelessness in New York City on Donald Trump. Can you believe that? Angelo Ceresi is with us. He knows something about New York, and he knows something about Mayor Bill de Blasio. Angelo, welcome. How are you? Whoop.
Everything?
There you are. Can you hear us?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay, great. We have you on again. Or I should say we probably had a button that wasn't being pushed there. I was just saying that Bill de Blasio, mayor of New York, has figured out a way to blame Donald Trump for the homelessness in the Big Apple. Have you heard about this and what's going on there?
Yeah, I hear about it. Him and Cuomo, they're blaming Trump for everything.
Yeah, they are.
I guess that's the thing to do. When you can't blame yourself, right?
Yeah.
You blame the president. That's the thing to do today.
Yeah, de Blasio really, he doesn't seem to have any shame when it comes to this. He says, quote, "The problem ultimately is Donald Trump has not shown any willingness to give us the tools we need, most especially Section 8 vouchers." I'm not totally familiar with Section 8 vouchers, but it's apparently has something to do with economic handouts that you would give to people that are at a certain level of income.
Housing.
And housing, it says here, yeah, which allow people to live in rental housing. Okay, so there you go. So, Angelo, you lived in New York City for a while, right?
I've never been to New York City at all.
Okay.
When I was in the service, I, stopped by at one of the airports to make a connection back to Rochester.
Well, you've been through it, however.
Been through it.
Okay. Well, we can.
I wouldn't want to live there with the people that they've got running the city. From what I hear, it's horror stories, I know people that have lived down there, have come up here to upstate New York and everything.
Yeah. Now, how far away, again, are you? How many miles from the Big Apple?
Well, probably about, maybe about a four-hour drive.
Oh, wow. You're a long time away. Okay.
Drive.
So we should shift gears and talk about Cuomo. He's ultimately, he's just as bad in the blame game, is he not, as de Blasio?
Not worse. Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's blaming Trump for everything.
Yeah. So, we just did a top 10 rudest cities, and of course, New York was ranked number one, although I would have said that there are some pretty good rude people in Boston and maybe Philadelphia. But anyway, so times are tough in New York with the homeless situation. It's not the only place where there's a homeless crisis. Out west, we're having the same thing. But it does seem like liberal politics seem to increase the problem, not, stifle it. Do you agree with that?
Absolutely. Their policies, over here now, the governor, starting the first of the year, people who can't make bail will be freed from our jails. You're going to have about
People that cannot make bail, you say if they can't post their bail?
They can't post bail. What is it that they're saying that the people who can't afford to post bail, right, are going to be set free. They're going to be given an appearance ticket.
And then they're supposed to show up, and everybody's going to believe that most of them will show up for their hearing.
That's what they believe,
Ah.
And I know
very trusting of them, very trusting.
There's an upstate New York. Saying you can't do that, but this joker of a governor we got is you're pushing through with it.
Now, Cuomo is the son of the other Mario Cuomo, who passed away, but he was the governor also of New York. So it's sort of a family thing. They just keep electing. It's sort of like the queen and the everybody surrounding
it's a descendant.
It's a royal family there, right?
Yeah.
Now, they also have this desire. I don't know where they are in the grand scheme of things. A desire to give undocumented or illegal aliens driver's licenses.
They've already started it. We had people out here at our Department of Motor Vehicles standing outside in line, getting driver's licenses. I thought, isn't it supposed to be illegal to hire illegal people?
Of course it is. This is completely stupid.
You're giving them a driver's license.
And then you get a driver's license. That's usually the number one form of presentation when you go to vote, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Show us your driver's license. And once they see that, you usually get to vote. So here's the deal. This is I used to think there wasn't a direct connection between the entry of illegal aliens into our country and Democrats voting. But now I'm beginning to believe there is.
Well, on our application forms to, renew your license and everything, in New York State anyway, there's a spot to register to vote, you know?
Yes.
On our application for the driver's licenses. Do you think these people are going to register? Sure they are.
Yeah, I mean, you don't have to prove that you're even a citizen in the state of New York. It boggles. They're doing the same thing out in California, by the way.
Well, absolutely. You're liberal states. You know, it's like I was an elections inspector for a while. You know, for quite a while, and I used to do the school board voting. You know, for the school board and the school budget, you have to show ID to vote for the school budget and to vote for the school board.
Mm-hmm.
And when I was taking the training courses to do the elections inspector, you don't have to show ID to vote for president, you know. And I raised my hand. I says, how come you don't have to show identification to vote for president, but yet you have to show identification to vote for the school board? It kind of boggles my mind. But we don't do that here in New York State. They blow you off on that, you know.
Isn't that ridiculous?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, this is so crazy. And I think it was Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez had been confronted about the fact that there are these illegal people wandering around that had crossed the border, and she was treating them as if they hadn't done anything wrong in this hearing. And she was interviewing, and I wish I could remember the guy who was testifying, but he said, Ms. Cortez, he said in so many words, he said, these people, you say they haven't done anything wrong. Yes, they have. Yes, they have. They crossed the border illegally. That's
right.
What they did wrong. She had eliminated the fact in her mind that they had done anything wrong by crossing the border illegally. That was no longer a crime in her mind. I mean, is this how far we've gone now with...
Absolutely. I mean, it's gotten to the point where I don't even want to be an elections inspector anymore.
It's depressing.
It's a hypocrisy, you know, they're hypocrites.
Yeah.
And I find it very, very un-American, to be honest with you. I mean, every country in the world has borders, but these people, you know, and then they call you a racist for... God bless you. They're calling you a racist if you say, well, you want voter identification. How is that racist?
I know. No, you're right. Do you think, I know New York is, you know, the city. If you pulled that out of the state of New York and everybody else voted, what percentage do you think would vote Republican and what percentage would vote?
Oh, most of the state. I would say 80% of the state would vote Republican.
Really?
90. Even 90. It's downstate. New York City, you know, Long Island, Manhattan, all that downstate.
So 90% of the Democratic vote is kind of coming from the city of New York.
Absolutely. Just
okay.
Like in California. You know, when they talk about, you know, Hillary Clinton won all these votes, well, she won New York because of the population. You know, you get the electoral votes. And the same thing with California. But that's why, I mean... That's why they had the Electoral College, so that, one part of the country can't control the whole
right.
Election.
And finally, Angela, do you think the city of New York, the state of New York, will ever really solve this homeless issue? What should they do? Do you see an answer to all these people living on the street, whether it's New York City or L.A. or Portland?
Well, first of all, you have to clean up the drug population.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you got to clean the drug thing up. You got to enforce the laws that we have. You know, you can't make it like a sanctuary city. You can't, you have to enforce the law. Like I said, you have to get rid of the drug problem, number one. I think, and you enforce the laws. You got to start putting people in jail. Don't let them out of jail. And you know, it's like just like putting Comey and these people in jail. People are going to keep doing this until they can't get away with it.
Do you think that eventually even New Yorkers or Los Angelinos or Portlanders, you know, people that live in those cities, will say enough is enough? I don't care if I'm a Democrat or not. We're going to do something different now. In other words, will it take a revolution and will it occur or will it just get worse and worse and worse? I mean, do you see an end to it?
I think it'll get worse before it gets better. I think we're going to have to hit rock bottom with all this stuff that they have going on, the policies that they have. You have to protect our borders too. You know, you got to protect our borders from these drugs coming in. Number one, that would be the number one thing: catching these people bringing the drugs into our country. You know, put the military out there intercepting these people. You start cutting off the head of the snake. You know.
Yeah.
You got to do that. Then you got to. I don't know. I think you just have to. It's going to hit rock bottom before we start changing our ways. You can't be coddling these people. You know, it's like, what makes people homeless? What is the question? We have to ask our question: why are these people on the streets? What is the reason for the homelessness?
For whatever reason, they're not personally responsible. Now, mental health.
Right, they're not
because of the drug dependency that gets to literally, you know, there are all kinds of drugs, right?
Right, alcoholism.
We always, you know, back in the 30s and 40s, alcoholism, we would account for people that have lost their way, right? All of that,
right? But you know, it's also I'm sure it's a lot of things involved. You got to ask that question: why are these people on the streets? They don't want to be responsible for themselves. We have taken responsibility away from people, you know?
Personal response, yes, I agree.
We have taken, people are not being held.
It used to be an attribute. Now personal responsibility is almost frowned upon, right? The government nanny state is something that we're aspiring to.
Right, right, where the government will take care of you. So nobody's going to be, you know, responsible for their actions. Right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you have, you know, it's like they don't want to pay their bills, just like this tuition thing, right? These people took these loans out, supposedly in good faith, that they're going to pay them back. Now, they're talking about the 2020 election. One of the things going to be talked about is doing away with the people paying back their loans. Come on.
Yeah, it's...
You know, I had to take a loan out to buy our house. My wife and I had to take a loan out. It took us 30 years.
Yeah, people will revolt to the idea that you're going to now let these people off the hook, and I've got loans, either a mortgage or a car loan or whatever loan I took out, and I got to pay it, and those people don't. Are you kidding me? That's the kind of people that are going to revolt.
Right. Well, how about you can just look on TV or the radio advertising. Do you owe the IRS over $10,000 or $20,000, whatever? You don't have to pay all that back, or even credit card debt. Look at that Reverend Al Sharpton. He owns millions of dollars. This guy has the gall to talk about racism and this and that when he hasn't even paid his taxes?
The gall of that person? It's a crazy...
People just let him get away with it.
Yeah, you're right, Angela. It's a crazy world. Well, listen, as always, and I've enjoyed this year with you, and we're going to... Next week will be a new year, and you're going to be back with us talking on some of these things. In the meantime, may I wish you the very best and happiest new year and a great 2020.
You and your family, and hopefully maybe I can take a swing down there this summer. This winter, maybe take a
come on down,
brother Andy. You know,
yeah, come on down. All right, my friend. Thank you.
Have a happy new year, everybody.
Okay, there he is, Angelo Ceresi, the brother of the proprietor of the barber pole, Andrew Ceresi. Going to take our final break. When we come back and talk a little bit of football, playoffs are coming, Big Ed will tell us, and then our ultimate top 10.
Let me show you where it's at. Come on, let me show you where it's at.
The name of the place is
I like it like that.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
The best barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop, located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They've got a beautiful new facility, but you'll still get the very best haircut from the very best hair cutters, and for a great price, too. Andrew's Master Barbershop is open Tuesday through Friday, 8:30 to 5, and Saturday, 8:30 to 2 p.m. Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza, State Road 580 and Overcash Drive in Dunedin.
Tom O'Brien is on the Tantalk Radio Network. Every Monday through Friday from 4 till 5 p.m., Tom takes to the airwaves as he breaks down the day's market action. Tom combines his technical knowledge of the markets with his years of trading experience to take your calls and questions every market day from 4 to 5 p.m. Whether you're new to trading or an active day trader, don't miss out on the Tom O'Brien Show live on the Tantalk Radio Network from 4 to 5 p.m. Monday through Friday.
Hey, this is Tammy with the Brian Cash Claws Radio Show. Tune in every Thursday from 3 to 4 p.m. to learn how we can make you money. You don't want to miss this show. It's the never-ending stories from Mr. Claus himself.
Become part of the show on Thursdays, 3 to 4 p.m., Brian Cash Claws, by dialing in 727-441-3000 or toll-free 1-866-826-1340.
Ho, ho, ho.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Well, you wake up in the morning.
We're back for the final segment, and before we get into the sports angle and then our top ten, I want to make mention of Don Imus, who passed away a couple of days ago in Texas, where he had gone for some treatment. He was 79 years old. And Imus in the Morning was a staple of Tantalk Radio, right, mm-hmm. Ed? He was on while we were doing our show. We would come on after him and had a nice lead-in audience with him. And you were there at the controls watching and listening to that guy. Well, I just want to get your thought real quickly on him and the mark he made, in radio.
Imus in the Morning.
Old liner right there.
There you go. Yeah.
Yeah.
I used to laugh uncontrollably at some of those skits they would do on the show.
Yeah, we still have some of those. So, staple for so long, and then what he went through and, being kicked off the air.
He went after a women's college basketball team and said a few things. And then he went around apologizing.
Well, that charade with... Who was it that he
Sharpton.
Had to go?
He sat down at Sharpton's program and he humble pied all through the show because he wanted to get back, I think, into the New York.
And he got back and then he was battling cancer for so long.
Yes,
and it's amazing that he did live that long. I mean, it was years and years and years ago they came out that he had cancer.
Yeah,
and his wife, Deidre. She went the holistic approach, instead of, the chemo and stuff like that. And
she maybe extended his life.
I remember his son was so young, and then now he's
Wyatt.
Put him through college and
wow.
Talked about all
Wyatt
that.
Already
talked
in
about
college?
Wyatt in college and all that stuff. Yeah. So, yeah.
And he was a great, he was a good Samaritan.
Yeah.
You know that.
Yeah.
His ranch for kids.
Yes, he did a lot of charity stuff.
He did wonderful things.
He
devoted so much of his time to that. So we salute Don Imus.
Yep.
And we mourn him.
Yeah.
All right. Your buddy ended the Bucks game, if I'm not mistaken, with another interception.
Jameis, it's how he came into the league.
He came in with an interception. He went out with an interception.
You want to know how scary this was?
So we're talking about the loss of the Buccaneers, 28-22 to the Falcons.
So the Falcons tied the game, okay? And I was texting my friend Randy when the Bucks got possession of the football after the coin flip. I said, how ironic would it be and how sad would it be for the fans in the stands if he threw a pick six on this drive and I no sooner hit send than he threw a pick six, which is known as is an interception touchdown, game over. And I just thought, how bad for the fans, because some of them, which there weren't very many there, managed to get tickets very cheap the last game of the year. May have had to save up for those tickets. And you go from euphoria and it's great and blah, 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 and then it's over. That's it. And I don't...
Empty feeling in your stomach.
That may have counted as three losses. Not only was it the last game of the year you lost, you lost in overtime, and you lost on another pick six. Just that's like losing three times.
And we've talked about this. He's the only quarterback we've got of any merit right now, but he's got what? He's got the end of his contract.
This is the end.
This is the end.
Yeah.
What are they going to do?
We don't know. I honestly think this may have a big weigh on the decision, because I think the Glazers have got to say, listen, we can't go through this again. I think midway through the game, they were thinking, okay, things are looking good. I think we'll probably re-sign him. But, man, when that happened, it signified, are we going to go through this again? And then Jameis' true colors came out in this press conference. Somebody had asked him if he thinks he can correct those things, and he kind of a smart aleck came back and said, oh, I'm not only going to correct those things, but I'll be the best in the league. You'll check your sheet on that one.
Wow.
Oh, yeah.
A little defiant. All right. Well, thank you, Ed. Thank you very much. And for our long-suffering Bucks fans, wait till next year. Okay, top 10 states people are leaving, Ed. Forbes magazine, he's over on the drums right now. And so without further ado, here we go. Number 10, Wisconsin. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. They have a population of about 5.8 million in the entire state. And 54.5% percentage of people moving out. Ouch. Number 9, Utah. I'm surprised in a way. Their population is just over 3 million people, but 56% of the population apparently is thinking or having left. All right, number 8, Kentucky. Percentage moving out of Kentucky, 56%. They only got 2.8 million people there. Better be careful. Number 7, Ohio. 56% of Ohioans going somewhere else. They've got about 11.6 million people there.
Especially since the Buckeye game the other night.
Yeah, maybe that's... Oh, that's right. They had to be sick with that one. Oh,
I don't know. Why don't we ask Lola?
Is she a Buckeye fan?
Yeah.
Uh-oh, I better... Uh-oh, she's going to throw something at you. Okay, where am I? Number 6. Massachusetts. Well, I'm not surprised. They used to call it Taxachusetts. Percentage of people moving out, 56%. Number 5, Kansas. Wow, Kansas has only got about 2.9 million people, 57% moving out. Number 4, another high-tax state, Connecticut, with about 3.5 million people, 57% leaving. Number 3, New York. Oh, yeah, New York. Now, they got almost 20 million people there, 61%. 61% of the people moving out. Number 2, New Jersey. Now, New Jersey's right next door, but they are a high-tech state. They got about 9 million people in New Jersey. 63% of people leaving poor New Jersey. You know, it used to be the Garden State. I guess they don't really call that anymore. Okay, Ed, I would have guessed the number 1 state. I want to see if you can figure it out. What do you think?
Michigan.
Ed thinks it's Michigan. That maybe. Roll the drums, Ed. It's Illinois.
Ah, that's close.
Yeah, it is close. But Illinois is having terrible, terrible times. They got about 13 million people there and 3 million in Chicago. 63% of the people leaving.
And what do all those states have in common?
High taxes and corrupt governments, usually.
I was going to say cold weather. They're all cold.
Cold weather.
Very cold. When you talk about Wisconsin, Utah, even Illinois, I mean...
True.
You don't see anybody leaving Georgia or Texas?
Well, I think... And they come to Florida because it's warm, but they also come because of the lower taxes, right? Yeah. I think there's two big things. Two big things going on. You know, they're leaving California, too, although they got so many people. They got 30 million people there. Yeah. So even if they lost a million, you wouldn't notice it.
Mm.
Okay, well, thank you so very much. This is our last show for 2019. We will be taking New Year's Day Wednesday off, but we will be back Friday. So do remember, Freedom Works,